This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Right now. Hello, Jeff.
How are you guys doing today?
Why do you start every sentence with, "I'm not a Baker guy"?
I don't think I start every sentence with that, but I definitely am not. So, I mean, that's an accurate statement, sure, but... I just hate the Browns. Like I hate every team, so it makes a lot of sense I would hate Baker Mayfield.
A lot of people accuse you of hating every team. Why?
Because they're sensitive and whiny? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I say, look, there's plenty of people in this industry that I'll tell you what you want to hear, right? There's plenty of them that go on all their platforms.
Give me some names.
All their platforms. No, you guys figure it out. There's plenty of people you can go to that'll tell you that everything's great on your football team and your quarterback's the best and you're the greatest coach of all time. I just don't do that. I just tell you how I feel. And if you don't like it, then so be it. That's a you problem. It's not my problem. But everyone thinks I hate their team because I point out things that are flaws or I don't believe in a certain player or I don't believe in a system. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I'm equal. Everyone thinks I hate their team, so I must be doing something pretty fair.
All right, Jeff, you did say on our afternoon show, Bull and Fox, you appear regularly with them. You said you thought, what, the Browns would go 13-4?
Yes.
Okay, but...
Hater. Browns hater. Jeff Schwartz, 13-4, wins the AFC North, but I'm a hater,
but,
sure.
But a lot of people found it to be, all right, backhanded because you said it's basically all in spite of the starting quarterback. And obviously people here are very excited about Baker Mayfield.
I didn't say it was in spite of Baker Mayfield. I said that I don't think Baker Mayfield is good enough for the Browns to win the AFC. That's all I said. I didn't say that you can't win regular season football games, but plenty of quarterbacks win regular season football games.
That's what I want to ask, Jeff, because, you know, we're wondering what kind of contract is Baker Mayfield going to get? How much better is Baker going to get? What is his ceiling? We've seen him make some of the most incredible throws ever. I've said his highs are really high. His lows have been low. He hasn't been the most accurate of quarterbacks. That's been a struggle for him. If you can kind of pen him in inside, you know, the tackles, he really starts to struggle. He has some problems kind of seeing the field. But the good news is with Stefanski, they did such a great job last year of getting him out of the pocket. The bootlegs, they're going to run more bootlegs than just about anybody this year outside of maybe a Shanahan offense. So what do you think the limitations are? Why do you think he can't be the guy?
Did you just mention the limitations, right? That you have to design an offense that is kind of clicking on demand, right? We're going to, you know, you can't run a lot of bootlegs when you're down 10 points, right? That's not really the way it works. So in the fourth quarter of a game, is he good enough to go win you that game, right? Is he good enough to sit in the pocket on 3rd and 8 with 2 minutes left in the game? And not just one time, but continually do that because that's what the playoffs are, right? The playoffs typically don't go as planned. The defenses tend to play better. Look, the Ravens in your division are a great example of this, right? Everything's great in the regular season. As soon as the postseason comes, boom, it's a much different game, right? Defenses are honed in. They're more focused. You're playing better teams, better athletes, better players. And the question is whether or not he can do that in those moments. I think that's what sets apart, by the way, the top five quarterbacks of the rest of the NFL. It's not just a Baker thing. It's a Jimmy Garoppolo thing, right? He had two plays in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs that elite quarterbacks make. 3rd and 6, Kittle's wide open. It's who the play is designed for. He's wide open. Doesn't throw to him. And then later in the game, Sanders splits the safeties. I was right there. I was sitting right there. I'm like, oh, boy, Chiefs are going to lose. And he missed them. Like, those are throws that set apart Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks and really not Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks. And, it's 5% of the game. It's a 5 to 10% of the game. And I think the Browns haven't paid Baker Mayfield for a reason. They're kind of waiting to see if he makes that jump, you know, in those plays. Again, I think the Browns are going to have a great season. They're very talented. A lot of teams that they're going to play are gonna the system's gonna work. It's gonna figure itself out. The Chiefs have averaged 37 points a game in opening weekends with Pat Mahomes. It's now three of them, three games. 37 points, right? Off a bye, Andy Reid is fantastic. Yes, they've reworked their offensive line. I'm not actually worried about that very much because if you watch the preseason, they look like they're supposed to look. If you say the Chiefs score 35 points in that game, right? Or in the playoffs when the Browns and Chiefs play again, and the Chiefs scored the first six drives of that playoff game, they missed a field goal. They had six scoring opportunities. Like, you have to – can the Browns score enough points in Kansas City in January to beat them? That's the only thing I said about Baker Mayfield. And somehow that turned into, like, I hate Baker Mayfield and I'm spiting him. And, like, I've been very consistent with my message about him.
Jeff Schwartz joining us on the hotline. So when you look at this game this week, it's obviously on the road again for the Browns, just like the playoff game. But this time, capacity crowd is going to be very different. Mahomes is coming off, you know, a preseason in which he actually played. Andy Reid had his guys out there. And then just Stefanski, it looked like the Browns weren't going to do that. And then the last game, they did throw Baker Mayfield out there for a few drives. So tough to take away anything big from the preseason. Do you think this game is totally different the way it's played than it was in a playoff game last year where it ended up being a nail biter?
I think that if Mahomes plays the whole game, it's obviously different in the playoffs, especially if you play this whole week in week one. Look, the Browns, I think, did a good job of fixing, at least defensively, some of the concerns they had last year against the Chiefs, right? They added the two pieces in the secondary in free agency, plus they drafted Newsom. So, you know, they're kind of rebuilding their secondary to, I think, slow down the Chiefs. Look, I think the Browns' hope is that Myles Garrett and the defensive line gets after this Chiefs rebuild offensive line, right? Orlando Brown and Tunyon and basically three rookies from center to the right side. And that, you know, that is the heel of the Chiefs. Like, if you can get to Pat Mahomes, which, I mean, that's simple, right? Every quarterback doesn't play well under pressure, but we saw that more often in the Super Bowl, right, where he just got hit and the game plan was to get the ball out soon and just wasn't a coherent, really great game plan when you have a poor offensive line. So with their offensive line fixed, I mean, you have to hope that your secondary does enough to slow down the Chiefs. You know, you hold them to three, which they did a good job in the playoffs of doing that, and that you're able to hit Pat Mahomes.
Jeff Schwartz joining us on the show. If you're the Browns, you go back to waiting this year, waiting out to see what Baker is. What if they get to the AFC Championship game, they lose to Josh Allen or they lose to Patrick Mahomes? What do you do with Baker then?
Well, you kind of have to pay him, right? Because you're in a situation where you're stuck, right? I mean, are you going to draft another quarterback? I mean, like, that's pretty bold of you, but you know, you have a quarterback who wins you football games. For so long, the Browns never had that, right? And now you have a guy that you can consistently get you knocking on the door. I think they have to pay him. It's going to cost more then than it would cost now, which I'm surprised. Again, they haven't done that. I guess they have an opportunity to wait. But then the makeup of your team changes, right? Because you can't pay as many other players surrounding the quarterback when you give him that big money. I would say that you kind of have to do it. And it wouldn't be – I don't think it's a – if he gets it back there, obviously good. It's not a bad thing. So I would pay him after that. And you have to just build a team around him that can try to win. Look, getting in the playoffs is the first step, right? If you can get in the playoffs, you have a chance. No one gave them the chance last year against Pittsburgh, and they went in and smoked Pittsburgh. So there's always an opportunity to win in any of these weeks.
I'm curious what you think, given your expertise, the offensive line category. The Browns' offensive line last year totally gelled. It was an incredible turnaround in just 1 year. They had some pieces there, but you know, for Wyatt Teller to come in and play at the level that he did, is that something? It's really hard to have offensive lines play well for a long period of time that's not, you know, playing in New England. How do they keep this going?
Well, you know, Bill Callahan, their offensive line coach, is fabulous, right? He's done this at a lot of different places. So, they brought in players that fit their system, which is super important, right? I think a lot of times teams draft offensive linemen that don't fit their system and then they end up kind of playing out of position or really not in a system that makes sense for them. So they drafted Wills, who fit in that position. You know, Conklin had done a lot of outside zone in Tennessee, so that made a lot of sense to bring him in. And they're just coached very well. Now, how do you keep it going? You got to pay everyone, right? You have to pay Wyatt Teller. You have to hope that injuries don't derail anything. Obviously, Wills is too young to get an extension. but pretty much you have most of the guys, I believe, signed up, and you have to just hope that, A, you stay healthy, which is the hope everyone has, and I hope everyone does stay healthy, but you got to pay Wyatt Teller in the offseason. He's going to cost, you know, $18 million a year. If you pay Baker Mayfield, do you have money to basically fund your entire offensive line outside of Wills? That's the question you run into.
Hey, I'm curious about another thing that obviously you have close ties to. You know, your brother, who people know here very well in Cleveland, goes on to Kansas City, does unbelievably well, obviously a part of a Super Bowl championship, and has surgery to repair after he was injured last year, his back. First of all, how cutthroat of a league is this that, you know, he could be so good for Kansas City and they're like, goodbye the minute that they feel like he is not of use to him? And how is he doing? What's up next for him?
Well, I mean, this is the NFL, right? As soon as they cut you loose. I mean, I think he's doing good. He's still rehabbing. You know, he's doing some radio stuff, some podcasting. He's enjoying life. I don't know if he'll play again. That's obviously, you know, we'll see if anyone wants to sign him or whether or not he, you know, camp's over now. So we see a lot of veterans.
Yeah, Jeff, he's only, and I know Joe Thomas ended up having to walk away and he had the incredible streak. It's 32 years old. I feel like Mitchell Schwartz should not be out of football at 32.
He's done a lot. He's, you know, four-time All-Pro. He's won a Super Bowl. He played great during that Super Bowl run. I mean, you know, a lot of guys at certain ages just like, oh, look, I have other interests in life. I'm going to move on. But, you know, if he wants to play, then he'll sign somewhere and get after it. If not, then I think he'll be happy. He did a radio thing yesterday. I think he's doing a podcast with Robert Mays. It drops on Wednesday, so it should drop today. I mean, he's doing other things at the moment. I don't know. We'll see if he plays again. I have no idea.
Jeff Schwartz joining us here on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How does Oregon beat Ohio State this weekend?
Oh, force 8 turnovers, I guess. I don't know. It's going to be tough. Look, I'm about to write about this game for Fox Sports. I'm going to give you the Oregon angle, right? We know Ohio State can score a bunch of points. I think defensively, you know, the questions are still there. Stopping the run, we saw Minnesota have some good time doing that. Look, defensively for Oregon, obviously, I hope Kayvon Thibodeau is able to play. I think he will play. He's really good. I was really looking forward to seeing him healthy against this Ohio State offensive line because their offensive line is really good. So it would have been a fun matchup, but I hope he's healthy. We do get a defensive back, a starter back this week off suspension, so that should help us a little bit in the secondary. Look, we're not going to play a bunch of man coverage like Minnesota did with guys like safeties that can't guard any of the, you know, putting that poor Minnesota safety on Wilson just turned him around that post for a touchdown. We're not doing that, right? We're going to sit in zone and kind of hope, you know, force Ohio State, hopefully, to kind of slowly go down the field. And offensively, our biggest question mark is quarterback. You know, Anthony Brown is his fourth year starting, the transfer from Boston College. He's just a dude. Like, it's hard for me to envision him being something that he's not in that game. And to beat Ohio State, we need him to be something that he's not. I watched the Oregon film on Monday or Sunday, whenever I watched it, and they held back a lot offensively for Ohio State. I mean, there's a lot of things that I know they have in their offense that they did not show. I'm sure Ohio State knows that as well. You know, I have to hope that, you know, what UCLA kind of did to LSU, they basically brought out a brand new offense against LSU, things that they had not run before under Chip Kelly. So I'm hoping that Oregon has some of that. But look, it's basically – Can you limit Ohio State to 35 points, and can you score 35? I mean, that's the question. And you know, Oregon had trouble scoring at the end of last season, and Fresno was a struggle at times as well. Mostly, I think our quarterback is just okay, and I'm not sure an okay quarterback goes into the horseshoe and wins that game. 14.5 points, though, is a lot. I mean, this was going to be a 10-point spread. Oregon plays so-so against Fresno, and they have – issues at times playing down to opponents. But I'll tell you this, Oregon has been ready for every big game they've played, right? They're 2-0 against Washington, our rival, 2-0 against USC in Pac-12 championship games. They beat Wisconsin and Rose Bowl, should have beat Auburn a couple years ago. So we'll be ready to play. The question is, obviously, can you slow down that offense enough to let our offense keep up?
Jeff, if Dennis Dixon doesn't go down with the injury in 2007, are we talking about Oregon as the national champs?
Yes. Look at the rosters of – I'm not sure we would have played Ohio State. I think we would have played LSU.
Yep.
That was not a very, like, pro-talented team. Like, that was just a – it was a year – even Ohio State that year, right? There weren't a lot of – who was your quarterback? It wasn't – it was like It was, I forget, it wasn't a pro prospect. It wasn't like LSU 2 years ago. And here's the thing about that team, we had three offensive linemen drafted. We had Dennis would have won the Heisman. We had two running backs drafted. We had a tight end drafted. We had a wide receiver drafted. We had our entire secondary in the NFL. Pat Chung just retired from New England. We had Walter Thurman and TJ Ward. Our entire secondary got drafted. We had a pass rusher that was first team Pac-12. I mean, we were really good. Like, we were talented besides the quarterback. And I feel like we had a really great opportunity. These Oregon teams that had made the championship, whether it was in 2010 or 2014 against Ohio State that year, they weren't very like pro talented. They were good for college teams. Our 07 team had pros, like guys who played multiple years in the NFL for a long time. And that would have been fun. But obviously, Dennis got hurt, and it wasn't even just him. We were down to our fifth string quarterback in the Civil War. We had our fifth, it was a true freshman walk-on fifth-string quarterback was playing in the final game of the regular season. I don't know how many teams get to their fifth quarterback during the season, but we had our fifth quarterback play.
Man, 2007, when anybody could get to the national championship, now there's only like three or four teams every year that can do it. Jeff, we appreciate your perspective. Get ready for some hate on Twitter. I know you love it. You endorse it. You thrive off it. So what makes you. Let's do it again. Thanks,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I thrive off the hate. I am telling you right now, my mentions will be off on Saturday. I'm not listening to like random Ohio State fan with seven Twitter followers like tell me Oregon sucks. This is not happening. I'm just letting you guys know right now.
Jeff, thank you very much for the time.
Take care, guys.
Jeff Schwartz on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Cool Trav says Ohio State was ranked ahead of LSU in 2007.
Whoa!
I remember the West Virginia team that just totally biffed their game with Rich Rod, I believe. Biffed
Pat
their
White
game.
Pat White was the quarterback.
Pat White, Steve Slayton, I want to say. And that year, all they had to do was beat Pitt in the backyard brawl. They put up like 13 points. They couldn't do it. And we end up with LSU and Ohio State after Ohio State had lost to Illinois the week before.
Around the AFC North coming up at 9. Up next, plenty of good seats available if you want to see some great football this weekend.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.